The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned of their exact time when the star had appeared. He then said to them, "Go to Bethlehem, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own town by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. Thank you. Let us pray. We bless the many spaces and places of our worship this morning. For those gathered here in this space, those participating where they may find themselves, in the quietness of their room, a subway car, or on a plane, God of light, we ask you to quiet our minds and illumine our time together so that we may know and understand what you have for us to hear today. Bless what is spoken and what is heard, so that it is pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. So I have to come clean and admit that I often struggle this time of year. Many folk who are unaware that the 12 days of Christmas for most of Western Christianity encompasses December 25th through January 5th, have long turned off their Christmas lights. Most of the houses near me along Penny Road have gone dark, with an exception of one, a neighbor who regularly sets up a nativity set in their front yard. Their set is one that uses those older injected molded plastic figures with the single incandescent light bulb in the center. Now, regularly, one or more of the figures will blow down in the wind that whips down that road. So sometimes you can drive past their house and find Joseph or one of the Magi asleep on the ground until the owner of the house gets out and places the figure right side up. But this year's been a little bit uneventful, as the ice storm a while back plastered most of them to the ground, so they pretty much stayed put. But as the ice gave way to warmer temperatures, we drove past there last evening, Graham and I, and found the Ethiopian astrologer passed out, facing the mud. Or could it have been the Iranian who was planted in the dirt? I was driving, so we pulled the car over and debated for a moment, much to Grand's chagrin. Truth be told, though, Graham and I did not know who we were looking at last evening, because we know precious little about the Magi. that came to pay homage to Christ. We know that they were from the East. We know that they were astrologers because Matthew reports that they had observed the star at its rising. We know that they were wealthy because they brought with them expensive gifts for their time, including, but perhaps not limited to, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So you know these are not your typical gifts that you can roll down to the Five Below and pick up. The Magi are evidently politically connected. Perhaps they are royalty, but they are a trusting bunch because they go to the current king of the Jews, Herod, to inquire about where the next king might be found. Now, maybe they originally thought that Herod's son was the one that they were traveling to see. Maybe they innocently thought that Herod would be motivated more by selfless piety than a willingness to engage in violent self-preservation as he did. We just don't know. But yet we know that the Magi take their dreams seriously and listen to what those dreams might mean when they are warned in a dream not to return to Herod. They don't. The word Magi originally is a Persian word that has been loaned to the Greek language and then borrowed by the Latin. So if we look back to the original Persian culture, we can see that the Zoroastrian religion native to that area has a job title called Magus, which is a Zoroastrian priest and astrologer. The plural of Magus is called Magi, which is the word that Matthew uses in the gospel. Now, although the Magi are most likely Persian, there are other strong theories to suggest that they may be from a land that is present-day Saudi Arabia, or the land that is present-day Iraq, the latter bringing with it much worry and concern and strife lately. Interesting, though, the Chinese church also points to a 2,000-year-old Chinese text that they uncovered that report an astrologer who sees a natal star and then travels the Silk Road to find the newborn king. So perhaps one of the Magi was Chinese. Additionally, Ethiopian church points to ancient traditions to claim one or more of the Magi as well. And incidentally, the Ethiopian church assumes that there were 12 Magi. And maybe they're right, because there's no real reason to think that they were just three Magi, because only three categories of gifts were presented. And there's no reason to think that they were all men. The spelling of the word that is used in Matthew's gospel has a neutrality to it and indicates that it may have been all men or it may have been a mix of men and women. And so there are still, in the Zoroastrian faith, female magi. So perhaps the Magi are a group of two men and eight women, or eight men and two women. As I said, there's a lot we do not know about these folks. So the question is, why does the gospel writer of Matthew spend so many verses right up front in his gospel on these mysterious Magi, for whom we don't hear anything else again in Scripture? At first, it may seem odd, because he doesn't spend any ink on any other aspect of Jesus' infancy. Matthew, after all, doesn't even record the birth of Jesus with any amount of detail like Luke does. He skips over the part about the manger and the shepherds. But I think Matthew relays to us the story of the mysterious Magi because he wants to make a few points. One, by telling the story of the Magi, Matthew stresses the political and the self-evident nature of Jesus' birth. Notice the Magi did not make the trek from Hebron, that is in Palestine in the West Bank. some 20 miles away, but from a much farther place. Meanwhile, King Herod was not even aware of this new world order unfolding some only 6 miles away from his palace until the Magi show up. So we can glean from the reading that we can get wrapped up in our day-to-day lives that it becomes difficult to see the wonder, the mystery, and the awe in our relationships, in our communities, in our homes, let alone in the heavens above. Second, I think Matthew is implicit telling us that our faith is journey. Sometimes it is a long and demanding one like the Magi took, or perhaps your journey may lead you simply 3 miles down the road as the crow flies. Beginning next Saturday, the Reverend Charlotte LaForest will continue her journey as she becomes rector of this church. She arrives here from the Diocese of Connecticut, bearing her gifts for ministry that she will present in homage to Christ. Likewise, my spiritual journey leads me down that 3-mile trek to the good people at St. Mark's Church in East Longmeadow. And additionally, we celebrate Barbara Thrall's time with us during this time of bridge period and wish her well on her journey, too. Perhaps Epiphany will find you in surprising ways. It may not come in the form of the illuminated plastic folk who have succumbed to wind, rain, or snow and find themselves face down on the ground. But nevertheless, be open to whatever God has in store for you. And our challenge for the season is to capture the light that drew the Magi and embody it to the world. Send it out. Don't wait for the right time or your arrival at the right place, because there isn't a right time, there isn't a right place. We're not sent into a perfect world, but guess what? It's the world that we have. My hope for you is that you will be bold to serve in the way you hear God calling you to serve. And perhaps that will mean to serve the people that I love at Church Without Walls and for whom I was ordained, the poor, those cast aside, the forgotten, those harassed by the authorities, perhaps sometimes arrested, simply because they have no home. The work of community, of love, of reconciliation, and restoration is the work at hand for us all. And I end with a quote from Steve Jobs. So here is to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, those round pegs in square holes, the ones who see things a little bit differently. They're not fond of rules much, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, you can disagree with them, glorify them, or vilify them. But about the one thing you cannot do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some of us may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius, because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that actually do. So let's get a little bit crazy, shall we? Amen.